Good morning. Would you do me a favor? On the count of three, would you put your hands together and welcome those that are online today watching from home? One, two, three. Big shout out. Wish you were in the room. Online church, we love you. We're glad that you're with us this morning. Wow. Good Friday, Easter. They're coming quickly. We're reminding you that we would love this room to be absolutely full twice over. It's a great opportunity to invite somebody who's thinking about church because it's Easter. And we have found over the years, it's just an amazing opportunity to invite a friend or loved one to come and join you for Easter Sunday church. And why don't you spring for breakfast or lunch and get them into the house of God. And we're going to sing goodbye yesterday. And we're gonna take the roof off in this place and create atmospheres of his presence. We're really, really looking forward to that Easter Sunday. Hey, I was thinking also this week about our dear friends in Fuente, Pueblo, Mexico. They had an amazing service in the new year that we were able to provide as we took up an offering for them. And we'll be bringing report from them just to see how things are happening after the fact of that great corporate meeting of all of the churches together. I know they're just, every time I make contact with Pastor Eric, they're launching another campus or another service, and God's doing great, great things in Mexico where we get to be a part. This morning, I want to start a series today, just a two-part series, Jesus and Politics. Some of you saw that and you've seen it on your notes. And I guess those are the two things you're not supposed to talk about at Easter dinner, right? Religion and politics. And so we're going to make an exception today and we're going to talk about it here at Harvest. So I feel like we should pray first. Father, we thank you so much that all of the areas of our life are important to you. And Lord, this is a very important time in Canadian history for us here in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us as your followers today in the name of Jesus. And I ask Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Amen. Amen. So we know that, some of you are twitching already. I can see you. We know that an election, if it hasn't been called already today, it's probably going to be called today. We just had an election in Ontario, Premier Doug Ford getting a strong mandate to do what he asked the people of Ontario to give him the mandate to do. And in political seasons, which we're in, definitely in a political season, more than the elections, just because of everything that's happening, of course, cross-border as well, there are a lot of opinions that get kind of thrown around and talked about and expressed. Even the president of the United States is sharing opinions about Canada and what he thinks about Canada and what we should be and what we shouldn't be. And it's very, very difficult to know what is true and what is not true and what we should believe and what we shouldn't believe. And so this morning I want to talk about this a little bit. And before you get too nervous and too twitchy about the topic, I want to remind you that I want to remind you, kind of go back a little bit to COVID days. I know we've all wanted to kind of erase that from our memories. I certainly do. Just the word brings me PTSD. I'd like you to think back for a moment. And today I'm going to walk through some of this the same way we did in those days as issues were high and heated people's opinions were being expressed. That I'm not going to take a partisan stance today. I don't think that's my job as your pastor, but I am going to pastor you today. And I'm going to pastor you the same way that I did during those days. And sometimes I teach, and people like that. Wow, that was good, Pastor. Learned something today. Sometimes I get a little excited, and I stir, and I preach, and people, oh, yeah, yeah. And then sometimes I pastor you, and I talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus and to look to the Word. And that's what we did in those days during COVID. I didn't tell you if you should get vaccinated. I didn't tell you if you shouldn't get vaccinated. I didn't tell you that you should fight for this or fight for that. I did tell you that we weren't going to fight in the house of God. I did tell you that we weren't going to be the church that would be loud and be out there and use the house of God for something that it was never intended, or we don't see in scriptures that it was intended to be or to do. And it was such a divisive time. I'm still talking to family members that I bump into, not necessarily here at Harvest, but in the journey of my life, that families that are split, relationships that are divided, families, friends parted, churches were torn apart, some that never recovered. And I know, especially out west, some churches that we are in relationship with there, that churches that were literally torn apart because people expected the church to be something that God didn't say it was supposed to be. And so we're going to cover a little bit of that today. And I'm going to just talk to us about the environment that we're living in, how we should follow Jesus in these days. And I'll do the same next week. And how does Jesus expect us to walk as his followers through a world that's in chaos? And there are all these views and thoughts and opinions and convictions. Convictions. We do have biblical convictions about some of these things. And so I've asked for some helpers today, and they're going to bring me out some just some things to help us focus on here. And so as we start this whole conversation about being a time that's being divisive and full of opinions, that we recognize the whole idea of having a political parties already divides us, because we have left and right. And if that weren't enough here in Canada, we add some others to divide the vote. So it's for us, it's not good enough to have left and right. We have NDP, which of course is not in the middle, then we have a Green Party that has all of two seats, and of course the Bloc in Quebec. So I'm not unaware of those things, but just kind of predominantly we have a left and a right that people will align. So we begin that way. And then there's all of the kind of, if you could just put it on top, there's all of the kind of things that follow the issues that are important. So we have international affairs. How are we getting along, Prime Minister Mark Carney? By the way, I'm going to get in trouble right here. Yes, he was not elected. And so those of you that are using the word dictator, please stop doing that. We followed Canadian law. And Canadian law had, and yes, they prorogued, and yes, it was political strategy, and yes, we don't like it, you don't like it, I don't like it, some of us don't like it, some of us love it. But we actually have a prime minister by the law of the land. Well, we shouldn't do it that way anymore. Well, that's the way Britain does it. Yes, and we haven't changed that, and we're not going to talk about that right now because it's not been changed yet, right? So he's still the prime minister, and that's why we're having an election. But he was in India, and the international affairs that are happening, because there's not just Canada and the U.S. We need to stay focused. There is so much else going on. Our health care, which if you've had to wait in a waiting room 17 hours, you're lucky if it's less than 5 or 6. And the stories that we hear, you know, it's hard. It's hard to hear them. And so, you know, that's passionate. Like, we really, this is an issue. We really care about that. Immigration. Immigration is not a topic. You can put it right on top. Yeah. Thank you. There's a ladder back there. You might have to bring it out next. It's leaning. Seriously. Immigration is not a topic, it's people. And we have immigrants that are coming to Harvest, and we love you. And for some of you, you discovered that what you were told in your home country about Canada hasn't panned out the way they told you it would. And it's difficult, and this is important. And it also, though, there are policies that are important. And we have division and, let's try to put it on top and see if it won't topple. Childcare. All right. And that's important to Christina, who operates a childcare center, who the government imposed. They thought $10 a day would be a really fantastic idea. and all over Ontario who bought in, it doesn't work. And so that's a hot topic. It may not mean anything for you, but we do need childcare, and we do need it done the right way, and we need it to be affordable. And so that's when we could, Christina and I, we could get kind of passionate about that, right? And that's important. You can, we won't need the, don't bring the ladder. Yeah, that one. And is there a sneaky one and hidden ones? Girls, if you could just start bringing them out real quick, one after the other. And you guys are doing, can you give my stage crew a hand this morning? Green energy, because apparently hydroelectric power is dirty or something. I'm not quite sure about that one. I'm sneaking in a few things. I'm sorry, but I do have the microphone. There is the orange man to talk about. Orange man good, orange man bad. Who knows? and yeah, well, I'll just pause on this one. This one might take me a minute. No, you can stay out here. Come on. You can stand behind the wall if you want. This one is so divisive right now. And it's dividing us as a nation right now. And there's the all of the tariffs, and I mean it's blood boiling. It can be, and so this is real stuff today. Politics and Jesus, abortion is not an issue like immigration. This is about lives. This is about people, and so this is a very important, incredibly important topic. And all of these topics, by the way, the Bible has something to say about. And we do have convictions about these things. Climate change, whether or not, I'm not going to talk about that one. I have to be careful. I'm bipartisan today. Our economy, you think you can get it up there? And right now, my retirement stuff is tanking. We're hoping that, you know, starts to get by that time and starts to increase again, because Christine and I have tried to prepare for our future, and some of you aren't at that stage, and you're just trying to put food on the table. And now we went shopping yesterday at Costco, and we were aware, and we said, that's about twice the price it was, huh, last month when we came, and so on and so on. So these are important, important things. Oh, that's mine. Yeah. I'll put that right in front. That's my issue. All right. Gun control. Maybe some of you are wondering why. And because I'm a gun owner, and I have been, and Grandpa Joe and me have been hunting since I was eight. And I'm a responsible gun owner, and I actually collect. And if you don't like them and you happen to have Grandpa Joe's gun at your house and you don't want it there, call a pastor. I'll come and get it for you legally. I'll take care of that for you, and I'll add it to my collection. And it's just, you know, that's a hot topic, because as glibly as I say that, there are people who are passionately against anybody owning guns. Are we all done? Was that the last one? Oh, yep. Okay. Oh, they brought the best one out last. How did they know? All right. And as we look at this wall this morning, it is one, because I've never seen division and hostility in my life the way we are right now. Like, it's not just that we disagree. People can disagree on some of the topics, or we vote differently. It's that if you are different, then you are my enemy. And if you are enemy, I'm at war with you. And that's even getting tossed about. And the closest ally that we've ever had in the existence of Canada and the U.S., except for, you know, before the borders were drawn and we were at war, 1812 and all of those things. But there's never been the hostility across the border and within the way it is right now. And I wish I could say it's only in the world, but it's really in the church as well. And I don't mean Harvest. And that's why we are kind of celebrating unity today. We're talking about that there are differences, but division is a choice, my subtitle today. Treating each other with contempt, being nasty and rude. Friends and family being torn apart because someone doesn't agree with a position. Now they're your enemy and against you. And families on this phrase, I'm done. That's it. I'm out. I'm all done. That's it. I'm done. I'm not talking to you. And they walk away and they haven't spoken since. And I know that's some of the stories, maybe even in this room. And so we don't want to build walls with the issues. They are real. And we can't see the screen for the people in the middle. So if you don't mind, I was going to do it at the end, but I'll just knock the wall down now. The issues are real. And there are differences. And by the way, this thing, it doesn't help. You can giggle right there. I mean, I know this is tense, but it's not that tense. We're going to be really family friendly with all of what we're talking about today. This doesn't help. There's something really cool called algorithms. And some of you make fun and you go, hey, hon, I think we should go to Philo's for lunch. Oh, look it, there's an ad for Philo's. Oh, it's listening to me. I knew it. And whether it is or it isn't, I don't know. But there are algorithms that read your every move on the phone. And so every time you search on the one side that you are interested in on these issues, your phone feeds you more and more and more and more of that side. And you're going, why can't my friends see that? Because they're on the other side and their phone is feeding them more and more and more and more. And people are getting really rich feeding the algorithms. Just saying. Because this isn't helping. And it's not bipartisan. And it will feed you whatever you keep looking for and reinforcing what you are believing on an issue. So difference is inevitable, but division is a choice. We are not going to see eye to eye. And even in this room, we celebrated harvest. And by the way, I was so proud of us during COVID and after COVID. And we peaked and gone past pre-COVID attendance and pre-COVID everything. Because what we said was, we represent Jesus to a community, not just to ourselves, not just to other Christians. And so we're going to walk this road the way Jesus showed us to walk it. Can I hear a big amen? So I'm not going to tell you what to believe on these issues except the gun one. What to believe on these issues or not what to believe, how to vote in the upcoming election. I'm going to point you to Jesus. We're going to pray. And first Wednesday, we'll be praying in April, assuming that the election won't have happened, but it'll be very close proximity to that. The decision for the next prime minister is hugely important. Canada's important. Our economy is important. How we relate to the U.S. Important, important, important. But it is not all these important decisions, but it is not the most important decision that you're going to make. The most important decision is who you will be and how you will behave. That's the most important decision. Who you will be and how you will respond to the social posts, to work, to family. What? How can you be a Christian and vote for that guy? As if there was a Christian party. Okay, I'll behave. But he's a Christian. He believes in Christian stuff. I'll behave. Promise. I'm going to find me a scripture and put it on my webpage or put it on social media so those other Christians know that how to study their Bible and make the right decision. And God's getting misrepresented and the Bible's getting misrepresented because we have an opinion that's more important. So that's the reason we want to do this. And we want to talk about it a little bit. And we want to kind of look at who we're going to be, most important, and how we're going to respond. For some of you, it's too late. I'm sorry. But maybe you can repent today and turn it around. All right? That was supposed to be funny. All right. Here's what the Bible... It's too rigid in here. The Bible tells us who and how. The first verse I want to look at. But our citizenship is in heaven.
Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. My citizenship, according to the Bible, my citizenship is in a place where my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, where my name is written in a book that God knows that I'm His child. And my true identity, my number one identity, is I am a child of God. And I don't live there yet. I'm alive here in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, but my citizenship, because of the blood of Jesus, my passport was paid for in heaven, where my Savior, Jesus, resides. And the Bible says, I have prepared a place for you where you are a citizen. As a Christ follower, I am not a Canadian first. We've got to look at priorities. I am not a Canadian first. As a French Canadian, and I have French Canadian heritage, born in, well, kind of. I was born on the West Island of Montreal. I guess that doesn't really count to be a Francophone, but it's close. It's close. It's in Quebec. And if you're a Francophone, you're not a Francophone Canadian first. If you're a First Nations, and I love our First Nations and help be a part of planting a church in Hogansburg a number of years ago, I love First Nations people and here in Canada as well as the United States. If you're a First Nations by descent, you are not, if you're a Christ follower, you are not a First Nations first. You are that second. You are a citizen of heaven first. Say first. This is important. Maybe you've never thought about this, but during biblical times when political issues were brewing and throughout church history, this verse is the one that the church will go to remind themselves and realize my citizenship is because of a Savior. It's because my name is written in heaven. First and foremost, I must represent the kingdom, the king, and the government that I am under. First, I am a citizen of heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. Would you say it with me? I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. So we live here, but we're part of the kingdom of God, and we have a king, and his name is Jesus. And so while I'm here in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, I need to follow what Peter said. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives. That doesn't mean First Nations people. It means people who would call and be first Canadians. We live in Canada. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life amongst the other people in your job place and in your school and at home so that your actions will refute their prejudices of how people see the church, because the church has misbehaved in this arena for as long as history has been there, and we're not going to repeat that at Harvest. Because it gives God a bad name, as we're going to see. And it gives the world an excuse to mock and ridicule. And that has nothing to do with God, but it has a lot to do with his church misbehaving. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Church history is filled with extreme views that say, as citizens of heaven, therefore, we shouldn't get involved in the political procedure. People that have a brethren background, if you're not familiar with that is, that's okay. You don't need to be familiar, but it may ring a bell. That may be in your family's background, or there are a number of church movements through history, evangelicals that said, because of this verse, we are not going to get involved in the political process. We're going to stay away from it. We're going to pretend it doesn't exist. In fact, in some, they tell you it's not biblical to vote, which we would not stand for that for a second. We are going to care. We're going to get involved. We're going to have convictions about the things that conform walls, but we're going to get involved in the political process and have a voice and have a vote, but we're going to do it the way the Bible tells us to do it. And James said, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Anybody ever mix it up? Whew. That's a hard one, James. Everyone, say everyone. Christ followers are told that the way, you know, we're identified because we listen and we're listening and we're slow to speak and we're slow to become angry. No, I want to be quick to make my point, because if I don't make my point, well, then they won't know, you know, that this is important and this is like the end of the world. And there's things going on, you know, there's things going on. You don't know, there's things going on. Government's corrupt. Government has been corrupt since the beginning of time. It's not more corrupt today than it was. You just hear more about it. There were a number of years ago. Well, let me keep going. Quick to make my point, quick to disagree, quick to post the opposite view. Oh, so-and-so said that, I'm going to say this. Got to keep it balanced. Got to keep this balanced. The one I there's two things. Quick to call unbelievers out for being unbelievers. Ah, this one bugs me. When Christian people put on social media or wherever out and call unbelievers out for being unbelievers, it is the stupidest thing on planet Earth. People that are unbelievers. They don't know about God's love. They don't know what they're doing could be harmful. They're making choices the best way they know how to do. Why does the church think they need to have a voice into the world of the unbelievers and tell them how you are such an unbeliever? Really? How about, there is a God in heaven that I represent, and he is so loving, and he, and yeah, I'm realizing I got to go much faster because I could have way too much fun. Quick to call out another believer without talking to them first. A number of years ago, we had a pastor in town feel it was his need to publish a letter to the editor in the Standard Freeholder because he thought Harvest wasn't a Christian church, and that because of so-called ties that we had with the Roman Catholic Church, because we bought a building from them, and I had been open that I wanted to have the at that time Andre Bishop Andre come and sing and preach for us, and which he did later on. So he called us out and called us every name of the book, and that any Christian, if you know, don't go near that church because they're going to take you to hell. I called him up on the phone. I said, hey, my name is, and your name is, and listen, have we ever had a conversation before? And the answer was no. And I said, well, listen, you obviously love the Bible. Me too. And the Bible says that if you have something against your brother, you should go to him first without telling the world in a newspaper. And so when I confronted him with the Bible, he said, oh, well, I don't think you're a brother. So it doesn't, that verse doesn't count. Fantastic. A couple of years ago, we had another church in town handing flyers out on the sidewalk and out at our entrance because they felt the same way, that we weren't preaching the gospel here well enough or good enough, and that people that were getting saved at Harvest weren't really getting saved, and so you needed to go to their church to really get saved. And so phone that pastor up and go, hey, listen, I don't remember you ever telling me that I offended you with how I preach the gospel. So I said, do you really think, I mean, we could have coffee and we could talk about this. I said, do you really think this is the right way to do it? And he goes, I just think right now God's trying to get your attention. So we send some people so you could hear God. All right. So we can all experience this. We don't want to be the person that's involved. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But now my kingdom is from another place. We are Christ followers. Our citizenship is in heaven first and foremost. That was point one. Point two, I need to go faster. We are ambassadors from heaven. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The context of the part of the verse I want to read, but when we were born in sin, separated from God, we say that word separated, but really in the context of, if we look at marriage and understand covenant, and marriage is the only
only other covenant in planet Earth that represents our relationship with God and God's relationship with his church, that separation isn't strong enough. It's actually divorce. That the two parties, that man broke his covenant with God. We walked away from God. We ripped our relationship. It's not a clean break if you've had a failed marriage or know someone that has. Divorce is so very painful. It is final. It is painful. It is terrible. We were divorced from God because we walked away in our sin. But Jesus died on the cross that we would be reconciled, which means to put back as if it was never torn apart. And he's committed to us the message that God wants to put his life with the lives of people all across planet Earth. Therefore, say therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador was the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one nation to another. Kristen Hillman is Canada's ambassador to the U.S. And she wasn't voted in, she's appointed. We are appointed by God to be ambassadors, the highest rank in the kingdom, to represent the kingdom of God to this world that we live in. Same word. Paul used it on purpose because as a Roman citizen, writing to people that hated Rome and hated the political regime of the pagan Roman Empire, and Paul himself held Roman citizenship. And he's explaining this concept today and says, hey, you are an ambassador. You represent the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. A little spoiler alert for the summer. Our summer series this year has already been identified and our speaking team, and I'm so excited about it. We're going to do the 9 fruits of the Spirit, take 9 weeks this summer to study that. We'll have study materials. You're going to be able to dig in, get together with other people and talk about what you're learning in our summer series. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, fruit that lasts. An ambassador represents the authority that has appointed them. They're not allowed to express their own opinions. They must express the opinion of the one that sent them. Ooh. And in a few weeks, we'll kind of look at what the Bible says about how God thinks about some of these issues, if I'm brave enough to do that. If we don't do it, you'll know I wasn't brave enough. We do it with self-control. We do it with the Spirit of Christ. We're not calling others idiots and morons, and I think I did it a second ago, slandering, mocking, and memeing. Are you representing your government leader, Jesus, well, as you're a citizen of heaven, as his ambassador? Do we have strong convictions? Oh, absolutely we do. But how we express them is important. Your calling is not to get someone to agree with you or change their vote, because that's not going to change the person. Our calling, our mission is to point them to Jesus. We don't point left. We don't point right. We point up to Jesus, to our, who we are ambassadors of. Because here's what I found out. When people begin to serve Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them, begins to talk to them about these issues. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit, who changes hearts, can change them in a moment. Your nasty dialogue or my nasty dialogue doesn't change. It divides, it builds walls, and it makes it worse. There's a young lady, I didn't ask her permission to share her story, so I can't tell you her name. She's a precious lady that has come to Jesus recently. And she made a living by doing a lot of New Age practices and beyond New Age, we would call them occultic practices. No one ever said to her, you know, you shouldn't do that, or, you know, that's wrong. But in a message, I talked a little bit about New Age practices. And she responded to another believer and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't make my living this way anymore. And Jesus had spoken to her and she said, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm getting rid of all the stuff. I'm taking my shingle off the door. Well, what will you do for work? Well, I also heard that Jesus supplies my needs and that he's going to get me a job, which he did all of that. You see, pointing people to Jesus is our mission. That's the mission of Harvest. The mission of the church will not be changed by the outcome of this election. Whether liberals or whether the conservatives get in, it's important. Here's the tension, though. Harvest will go on regardless of who gets in. Our mission that people should know God, find freedom, people will discover purpose and make a difference with their lives, will not change. The church was birthed in the first century on the day of Pentecost in the context of a ruling pagan nation. And Christ's followers said, Jesus, are we there at the end of the world now? Are you coming to overthrow the earthly government? And finally, we're going to live in a Christian country with Christian everything and Christian chicken called Chick-fil-A. And will we have all of that, Jesus? And Jesus said, no, that's going to be at the end of the age and in certain places in the United States. He said, no, I'm not coming to restore the kingdom. You're going to live with the Romans for a while. And we see no scriptural examples in the New Testament where the mission of the church was to overthrow the government. Just let that one. It was never encouraged. Jesus said, don't. In fact, he said, don't to the sons of thunder. God, you want us to just get rid of these guys? We can knock them off. Your ministry will be, whoo, you be Pope tomorrow, Jesus. It'll be great. No, don't do that. We help churches in Cuba a number of years ago. I was there, and Pastor Emilio Alonso, who's an amazing, amazing apostolic leader that has helped grow 90 churches to 900 churches across the whole island of Cuba. And every time I go, I get frustrated with the communist government there because they really, 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 really put pressure on the church and keep them, in my mind, from doing all that they can do. And so I said, like, what, do you pray? Like, do you guys have prayer meetings and just pray that God will, you know, dethrone the communists? And, you know, like do you guys protest in the streets? And he's looking at me like I've got 16 heads. He goes, I don't understand your question. He said, I live in a communist country, yes, and it's difficult. He said, but I'm a citizen of heaven. He said, I'm an ambassador of the king. We do not focus on the communist government. We focus on the kingdom of God. And we believe as we bring the kingdom of God, God can bring healing to our land. God can change whatever he wants to change on the island of Cuba. But our focus and mission of the church is to bring his kingdom to Cuba. And I repented and asked him to forgive me. And I asked Jesus to do the same. The third one, by the way, I'm thankful we have a free country in Canada and we get to vote and we don't have a communist government. And someone stopped thinking, well, we will soon if there isn't some changes around here. And so that's why we exercise our freedom and we're going to vote. And we take these issues very seriously. But the third one, we are a citizen, we are an ambassador. You're not a regular person. You're a royal priest. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So don't act like, argue like, fight like regular people. We are priests. And the job of a priest is to connect other people to God. We ourselves have access into his presence, as we looked at last week. But also as priests, it is our job to connect those who don't know God and bring them into proximity with God. You are called to be a spiritual influencer. As I said, not left, not right, but up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Paul, dealing with division in the church. And I'll read this verse, but I just want to preface it by saying I don't sense any division in this house. That's not why I'm sharing today. I want to keep us that way. I want to keep us walking carefully. I want to keep us focused on the mission. I want to remind you today that you are a citizen, an ambassador, and a priest. It's who you are. But at a time of division in the city of Ephesus, Paul the Apostle penned this: there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Today, God's in control. God's in control. We're not going to sit back and act like God's going to be entirely in control. We'll let him. No, we're going to be active. We're going to be citizens, ambassadors, and priests. It's all across this room. Today, I just want to commission you, Christ's ambassadors, Harvest, citizens of heaven, and a royal priest whose mission is to connect others to Jesus. Lord, you said to pray for those over us, that it would go well with us. And in this political upheaval, Father, I think of our dear friends over the border and some voices that have joined the playground fight, elbows up, let's go. And that never really solved anything. But in times of real war, history, we fought together, we died together, we've done life together. Lord, I pray that you would restore order where there's chaos. We pray, Father, that you would supersede in the atmosphere of the divisiveness that we're witnessing. And Lord, we pray for President Trump. We pray for our present government. And Lord, for the government soon to be elected, one side or the other. And that there would be wisdom. Lord, that you would, as you have done through the ages, even visited leaders in the night hour and gave wisdom to them. When Pharaoh needed a Joseph to know how to feed a hungry world. And you've been using Josephs, Lord. Just, they're not noticed. They're not talked about. They're kind of in behind. But Lord, you have had your voice and you have had your presence in this world since it began. And we trust you. We trust our freedom. Lord, help us to understand how we're just to walk forward here in Cornwall, in Ontario, and in Canada. We receive our commissioning. If you're here today, and this is your first time or online, this might be a strange maybe topic in church, and I hope it was informative. I hope it was helpful for you, and I hope it was for our church today. But if you're here today, and if I were to ask you, is your citizenship in heaven? And you might respond, well, I hope I've, you know, done enough good things in life. I'm a pretty good person. I think I'll go to heaven. The Bible says that no one is righteous, meaning no one can do enough good things to outweigh the sin in our life. No one. There is none righteous. No, not one. And that Jesus was the only way that sin could be paid for. All of our good deeds, all of our, it amounts to nothing, the Bible says. It's helpful in this world to be a kind and good person, and to do the things I've talked about today, but we don't do those things because we can. We do those things because of Jesus who's in us, who enables us, because my citizenship is in heaven. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if my citizenship. God's love and forgiveness and become a follower of Jesus. If that's you today, I'm simply going to count down from three, two, and then one. At one, I would ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, we're going to include you in a prayer. After you raise your hand, I'll acknowledge it. We're all going to pray a prayer, but I'm going to invite you to make it your prayer today as you become born again, as we sang in that song earlier on. In three, in two, it's for you today. Would you raise your hand? just saying, Pastor, pray for me today. I want to receive Jesus. Is there anyone today? Thank you. I see your hand there. Thank you so much. Anyone else today? Online, you can type in, I want to receive Jesus today. Our online host will pray with you. If you raised your hand, Harvest, you know what to do. Let's pray this prayer. Make it your prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me, that you died for me today. I ask you to come in my life. Forgive my sin today. I receive forgiveness. I receive my new life. Thank you, Jesus. I am born again. Amen. Hey, would you just congratulate those that raised their hand? Would you stand today? We're going to sing. You'll be dismissed in just a moment. If you raised your hand today, I would just ask you to take the notes that you had when you came in. There's a spot you can check off. I made a decision for Jesus today. Give it to somebody on a host team. We'd love to give you your first Bible. God bless you, Harvest.
The earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say,
Father, for this morning. God, thank you for the challenge, Father. Thank you for reminding us, God, this morning of who we are and what we stand for. Father, thank you for who you are, Jesus. Father, I pray for each individual as we leave this morning that you go with them, Father. Just protect them, keep them safe, God, and in their ways and their coming and their going. Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed, Harvest. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.